joining us now from DogNation.com and the AJC, covers the Georgia Bulldogs, a guy who has covered both Alabama and Auburn, knows about the Iron Bowl very, very well. It's Mike Griffith, and he joins us on the Bud Light Hotline. But first, can we talk about clean, old-fashioned hate, one of the greatest rivalry games we have in college football, Mike? Georgia and Georgia Tech, give me five things that are better than this rivalry.
5 million things? You know, I get myself in trouble with the Georgia fans because I just, you know, I don't get it. And I've actually said they shouldn't be playing this game at the end of the year. This reminds me of what LSU Tulane was, and there's a reason why it isn't anymore. I just don't understand it. You know, I guess I've lived in Georgia 4 years, and, you know, there's some people that really like it a lot. You know, they asked one of the Georgia players about the rivalry game coming up in Atlanta, and he said, yeah, we got to beat Alabama. And he just skipped right over this one. So I think it's lost a lot of luster, but I do want to be respectful of the Georgia fans that, you know, that like it. I look at it like this. You know, unlike Alabama and Auburn, which is a game you've got to play, it's a conference game, you don't have to play this game. And the best case scenario is that you blow them out, which, okay, nobody cares. If you want a good game, that's not good either, because that means they're good enough to recruit against you. So I guess I don't really – it'd be like if Tennessee played Memphis every year in football. I don't really see the point of it.
In regards to – is this dictated by the state legislature or anything of that sort, or is just the fact that these two have played for so long and they just have that type of relationship where they're just going to keep playing that game regardless?
Yeah, there's a lot of that worshiping at the ashes of tradition stuff, whether it's this or playing in Jacksonville. But, you know, the takeaway for me is that Georgia gives away home games more easily than any other major school I've covered. I mean, you know, they give away the Florida game every other year. They give away a home-and-home with Georgia Tech, which, it's risk-reward. I mean, what's the benefit of playing, you know, 60 miles away? It's not like Georgia doesn't get in front of the fans in Atlanta. I mean, they're going to be in the Mercedes. They played in Mercedes-Benz Stadium for the last 5 years. And, you know, Athens is about 60, 70 miles from Atlanta. So it's not like, you know, you really need to get in front of those people. But, again, it's just kind of one of those things. And, you know, if Kirby can win a national title and get more control, you know, it's kind of like the flat Earth society, right? If people say the Earth is flat long enough, you're going to have a hard time convincing them that it's round. And, you know, just because something's been done over and over and over and over, sooner or later, you know, if you want to evolve, you know, you've got to make changes. But people are reluctant to change. And I think George is in an interesting place right now with Kirby, because I'm not saying that Kirby would get rid of the Georgia Tech rivalry. I do know that he wants the Jacksonville game, you know, home, at least the Athens half of it at home. Florida can do whatever they want with their half. But Georgia's in an interesting place right now where they're trying to become a dynasty. And that's what makes this such an important year for Alabama, to see if the Tide can hold on. Even though we know this is kind of a rebuild, sounds strange to say that about the number three team in the country, but that's kind of what's happening. And if Bama can, you know, hold serve and, you know, win the SEC championship game, then it's kind of one of those deals where you say to Georgia, well, if not now, when?
Mike Griffith, DogNation.com, as we discuss Georgia football, SEC football, and look ahead to next weekend inside Mercedes-Benz Stadium, where it would be the Bulldogs and the Tide for the SEC championship. Mike, I know that Kirby Smart addressed this, and when it comes to wide receiver George Pickens, the question is, when will we see, or will we see, George Pickens? Has not been cleared to play, but he still has to complete and pass some tests that they want to, you know, I guess, you know, stress his injury, his knee, and see where he is. What's the likelihood of the time frame being between now and next week when game planning for Alabama starts there in Athens, Georgia?
Well, I mean, yeah, I got a feeling they're already game planning. Come on, let's be real about it. Georgia Tech just lost 55-0, and Georgia was probably game planning last week before they played Charleston Southern, right?
Sure.
I would be on the betting side of thinking George was going to, especially if JT Daniels is back involved. I mean, those two last year were unbelievable together. You know, George really turned it on down the stretch when JT was a quarterback. George is really not a, right now, they're not a pass first team. It's more the the ground and pound, play action. And, you know, Kirby believes in his defense. And if you can shut teams down and hold them to 14 or 17, then he can be patient and run that play action offense and run Stetson Bennett a little bit and just pound at teams. And that's kind of the question. I mean, can they hold the Alabama offense to 14 or 17 points? And, you know, the gamble from Kirby's going all in on the walk, on the former walk on Stetson Bennett. I mean, he's choosing him over the prolific passer. That's what he chooses. He wants to pound it on the ground. That's the preferred mode of attack from Kirby Smart. That's the comfort zone. He doesn't want to put the pass first guy out there. So it's intriguing. It's interesting. Could it change? Yeah, he could go to the bullpen. How would it look if he pulled JT Daniels out of the bullpen? I don't know. He's only played two out of the last four games. He's been cleared. So there's a lot of questions. If Georgia can hold down the Tide and pound it, then that's what I think Kirby wants to do.
In regards to this weekend's game between Alabama and Auburn, do you have a feel one way or another what Auburn would potentially need to do to make this a ball game in the second half?
Well, they just got to be Auburn. I mean, this is a rivalry, guys. I mean, this is, you know, this is the best college football rivalry, and I'll say that on any radio station. It doesn't matter what state I'm talking in. I mean, this is why I got into covering college football, was, you know, to cover Alabama in Auburn, you know, for the Mobile Register and in Anniston. I mean, this is, you know, to me, this is what I grew up watching and looking forward to every year. And, you know, because I just, and I've explained it. It's, you know, Georgia has a lot of pro sports teams out of Atlanta, and I grew up in the Midwest, and obviously there's a lot of pro sports teams in Michigan, Ohio, Indiana, Illinois, Wisconsin. But in Alabama, there is no pro sports team. There aren't any, you know, major league teams. And therefore, you know, it's Bama Auburn 365. And that's always been reflected in this game, right? Gus Malzahn, I mean, Auburn's won a lot of games. How in the world did they win that? You know, I still remember the 97 game that got Bruce Arians fired. I mean, think about this now. Bruce Arians is arguably the best coach in the NFL.
Shouldn't have called a screen pass, Mike. You know that. You don't call a screen pass to Ed Sisson. You know that.
That was the point. They had the wrong personnel package in there. That was the problem, was that they didn't substitute clean, and Ed Sisson wasn't supposed to be in there. The poor guy from Gadsden, the former Blue Devil there. It was supposed to be Dennis Riddle or Sean Alexander.
I talked
to Sean about it now, and Sean says, man, if that had happened my senior year, I'd have called a timeout and put myself in. You know, because he was thinking at the time, what are we doing with this? You know, but just the fact that Bruce Arians got fired after 1 year at Alabama, and here's what's really amazing about that. The guy that wanted the job before Bruce was Mike Martz, and he couldn't even get an interview. And 2 years later, he was the greatest show on turf with the Rams. So this rivalry is full of great backstories and things like that, and it's high profile. You know, it seems like there's always something on the line. Run this scenario. What if Bama loses to Auburn but beats Georgia? Do they still get in as a two-loss team? Ooh. I mean, there's all sorts of things to consider here on, you know, on the heels of Bo Nix calling out officials, by the way. That was also pretty interesting.
Yeah, it was. Mike Griffith, DogNation.com, joining us here for a few more moments on Three Man Front on the Bud Light Hotline. Mike, which offense poses, in your opinion, the biggest threat to Georgia's defense? Is it Alabama's or is it Ohio State's?
Yeah, it's interesting. Boy, it's tough, you know, because I really like Bryce Young's mobility. You know, he's got to get through this next game clean and stay healthy. I would say Alabama's. I would say Alabama's because I think that, you know, Nick and Kirby, I think there's a tendency to overthink things. Ohio State is you know, kind of the, you know, the flavor of the month. You know, let's see what Ohio State does against Michigan this weekend. I'll say that. And I went to Michigan State, and I knew Michigan State would lose to Ohio State. They don't have the talent. Mel Tucker's doing it with Mears. I mean, they don't have top 25 talent, Michigan State. It's, you know, there's a reason Nick Saban left there. He knew he was never going to conquer Michigan. He couldn't. He didn't have the support. Financially, he didn't have the commitment, and just where they're at geographically, Michigan State could never, you know, rise up to be a consistent superpower unless, you know, Michigan was doing something wrong. like keeping Jim Harbaugh, or Ohio State was down, right? So, I'm going to go with Alabama as the bigger threat offensively.
All right, so as you mentioned, as a Michigan State alumnus, how much are you contributing to the $100 million contract that Mel Tucker is supposedly going to be getting?
I'm not one of those. Those people pay me to go to their games. I've got my own college fund. I've got three kids. I don't know who these people are that can give all this money, but I got the Mike Griffith family college fund. I mean, I got three kids trying to make it, and I got to help them pay for their education. They work full time jobs while they're going to school. I don't know about this alternate universe, where people have all this money to give schools and education's paid. I mean, I'm a sports writer, man. I mean, the riches that we enjoyed were our experiences and our travels. It didn't come in a financial state as I worked my way up through the ranks. Although I wouldn't trade the path for anything. I loved living in Jacksonville, Alabama, a few blocks away from the stadium while I worked for the Anniston Star. And, those late night trips driving down to Auburn for basketball and driving back to put in the afternoon paper, and or living in the Mobile or Gaffney, Alabama, and working for the Mobile Register and driving up to Tuscaloosa every Monday morning and staying up there three nights and driving back to Mobile. Those were some awesome times and a lot of fabulous sports babe on the radio.
Oh, my goodness. That shows the age there, Mike. Final question, and it has to do with LSU and Florida. If you are Scott Woodward and you're Scott Strickland, who's the number one name you're going after for each school? Are they swimming in the same pool?
No, I don't think so. If I'm LSU, I'm going for Dave Aranda because I need things to settle down a bit. I need a coach that I trust, and that there's been a lot of things going on at LSU, right? I think we all know it's pretty well documented. There were some off the field things that which could happen at any school, but if they're not controlled properly. But I'm going with Dave Aranda. A lot of times you do these 180 hires, where you want to, play it safe. I think Florida is still a little stuffy, so I think they'll probably go Billy Napier. But if I was Florida, look, if I'm playing for all the marbles, and I'm putting it all out there and I truly want to be a national contender again, and I can't even believe I'm saying it, but I'm going for Lane Kiffin, man, because he'll steal the moment. I don't know what the long-term success is. I don't know how much of a circus. I don't know who's, what the article's going to say. But, if Florida hired Lane Kiffin, that would be combustible for better or worse.
All right, finally, quickly, Mike, got to know, because it's Thanksgiving week. Besides turkey and dressing, what's one Thanksgiving food that you look forward to the most?
Pumpkin pie.
Okay.
Come on, that's easy, right?
Some people are kind of wishy-washy on the pumpkin pie. I don't know.
That's an acquired taste, right? Yeah. I mean, come on. Pumpkin pie? I mean, that's pretty obvious. I mean, pumpkin pie, I mean, turkey, potatoes, sweet potatoes, stuffing, pumpkin pie.
So you said stuffing. I said dressing, and he said stuffing. Yeah. You can't take the Michigander.
It's that Michigan. Yeah.
You can't take the Michigander out of Mike.
Yeah.
That's what I do when I put my clothes on in the morning. And I don't push buggies around the supermarket. I put shopping carts.
Do you crank your car?
No, I started.
Why do you park on a driveway and drive on a parkway? These are all questions we should ask.
This is pretty fast. Why does Auburn say War Eagle when their mascot's a tiger? There is a great story there. We all know it.
Yeah,
it was a battle cry. Shoot the billy goat didn't work. Oh, I don't know. Anyways, all right, Mike, we appreciate it. Thank you.
Happy holidays.
Have a great Iron Bowl weekend.
I'll say happy Thanksgiving. Pat's just being politically correct.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.